Good to see everybody this morning. Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation 18. Revelation 18. I want to thank everybody for that took part, donated, gave, served, worked. All the things that went into making yesterday a terrific outreach and just fantastic. You know, the more that we can do that in the community is to let people know of our love and our concern for them and their families. It makes an impact. Hey, you know what, everybody? We're here and we're singing these amazing songs about Jesus. How did you like that music today? Wasn't that awesome? Amen. I Surrender and the joyful sound of Down in the River. Wow. Listen, there's no other God like ours in the world that is just like an overflowing river of life. I mean, it's just the life and the greatness that he sends in our direction is beyond our comprehension, and we praise him and thank him. Now, just before I get started and we get right into the message proper, you know, I wanted all of us to just take a moment and think about this family that they were having what we would have a baby dedication here in Pittsburgh. This Jewish family came together. And you know, in recent months, I've been talking about anti-Semitism and the hatred that the world around us has for God's chosen people. And folks, listen, the reason that is, why maybe more than any other ethnic group in the entire world, this has been going on since time immemorial. Why? Because the Lord Jesus was Jewish. God decided to come to this earth to die for our sins through the Jewish nation. Salvation, John chapter 4, it says, is of the Jews. And folks, Satan will not rest content until he can have all of the Jews in the world wiped out. So all it takes is a person that's conscience is seared, and Satan can just speak into that person's heart and mind whatever temptations that he wants to, and they'll just do whatever the devil tells them to do, and that's why they go into a sanctuary and murder. You know, I think there was 11 people that died and about 19 or 20 that were injured in the shooting. So just let's all just remember to keep them in our prayers. And I pray for at the beginning of the message, we'll all pray for those families. I mean, think about it. If it was our family, someone in our church family having a baby dedication in that, it would just be just awful, horrible. And folks, until Jesus, the Prince of Peace, comes, there will be no peace. There will be no peace on this earth. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's coming. He's going to destroy all the things that are in our society today. It's going to be a great, great day, but we need to pray for him to come soon and pray for God's chosen people. All right, well, let's do this. Let's just, before I start, let's just pray right now, okay? And then I'll just skip that prayer that I normally pray after I give my title. But let's just pray right now for our service and for those people that have suffered so much loss. Father, we bow before you as your people. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful music, Lord, for our praise and worship that went up to you, for these new songs, Lord, that are fresh and invigorating, Lord, and powerful in our hearts, and then for the old songs that we love so well. And Lord, we just praise you for your blessings on our lives and our families. But Lord, yesterday a family in our country endured an awful, horrible terrorist act. And Father, we pray for that family this day. We pray that your power and spirit would rest on that family and comfort them, Lord. Lord, if they need eternal life, Lord, we pray that you'll manifest yourself to that family and show them the way. Lord, we just ask that you would comfort them and help them to deal with all this, Lord, and work their way through it, Lord, and Lord, most of all, that they would turn to you if that is necessary, Lord, if they haven't found you as their personal Savior, Lord. We just pray, Lord, for that to come to pass. Use this message today, Lord, in all of our hearts, and glorify your name, Father. And we pray it in the name of our precious Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Revelation 18. You know, when I was growing up, everyone, after I got saved as a teenager, I began to hear this phrase like in sermons and things, and I've used it over the years, and you all know this like the back of your hand. But during my teenage years, they began to say this: if you lie down with the dogs, you get up with the fleas. And essentially, that's a simple and effective way of basically saying what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is a picture recently from Portland, Oregon. Bad companions corrupt good character. Bad companions corrupt good character. If you lie down with the dogs, you get up with the fleas. Or Paul said, listen, if you hang around with corrupt people, they'll corrupt you. Okay, do you get that, young people? Do you get that? You hang around with, you know, I know what happened to me. I played in high school. I was in three sports: football, wrestling, and baseball. I did it for my freshman year. I did it for my sophomore year. But then I got around corrupt people. And I headed down the wrong path in drugs, alcohol, and all of the things that go with that. In the last 2 years, nothing. No sports. I don't know why my mom and dad didn't sit up and take notice. Hey, what's going on here? But they, you know, they didn't. Maybe, I can't remember, maybe I told them I wanted to concentrate on my studies more. I doubt that. I mean, first of all, it would be the biggest lie I ever told, and I was just not big on studying and stuff in those days. Now I love it. I can't get enough of it. But anyway, I don't know how that happened, but it did. But anyway, also this statement about dogs and the fleas and the statement by Paul, there's another statement in the Bible that you all know like the back of your hand. It's the beginning of 150 chapters. Think about that. 150 chapters of the Bible. And what does it start with, everybody? It starts with this verse. It starts with Psalm 1:1. How blessed is the one who does not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand in the pathway with sinners, or sit in the assembly of scoffers. Scoffing goodness, scoffing holiness, scoffing righteousness, putting it down, mocking it. Hey, listen, young people, if you are around people like that, other people at school that listen to what wicked people say, they listen to their advice, if they hang out with other evil sinners, or if they sit in this mob of mockers that bully and mock other young people, get away from them. Run 100 miles an hour in the other direction. Or you know what? You'll become just like them and they'll ruin your life. You know what? You'll get to be 18 and you know what? You'll be sitting there with all the rest of the kids in college if you end up in going to college, and you'll be standing like this with your arms crossed and mocking people that try to do what's right and try to stand for God, try to take a stand for holiness and goodness. You'll be a mocker just like them. So when you get to Revelation 18, everyone, what we've seen in recent weeks is this. I've said all that to get us started on this idea of Revelation 18, where it talks about the judgment God brings on the city of Rome. We found out from Revelation 17 that it's talking about the city of Rome, the future city, the revived Roman Empire, but not just a city. The problem isn't just a bunch of buildings and everything like that. The problem is the philosophy that's flowing. Hey, everybody, let me ask you this. Is there a philosophy that flows out of places like New York City, L.A., so on and so forth? Is there a certain kind of way of looking at life that comes? Yeah. Yeah, and it's a lot different from the one that comes out of like a city like, say, Fort Worth or, you know, Richardson. Or, you know, it's a lot different, okay? And so we're talking about not just a city that's being destroyed. We're talking about a worldview. We're talking about a giant group of people, government, and everything else that goes along with that, that's influenced everything around the world, and it's ruined the world. And we're going to see that one here in Revelation 18. Now, God's future judgment of this city, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the harlot in Revelation, the prostitute. And I put this picture up here because this reminds me, Revelation talks about this well-dressed, it's got jewelry and got all of the fancy clothes and everything on, and then you know, got the green rings on her fingers, and then you got the beast that she's riding on. This, in John's vision, he sees this adorned prostitute riding on the back of the man of sin, of the end time dictator in the end of time. The man of sin, the little horn. You remember I sent you home with that sheet last week? Bob, did you get that thing in the mail? Good. So anyway, so this is a symbolical, this picture I have here. See, this woman pictures Rome in the end times. And she's kind of a picture like a prostitute. She wants to seduce others and take them down and ruin them. All right? She's just living for kicks and for what she loves to do and what she enjoys and doesn't care about anything else or anybody else. As long as she gets rich and prosperous, that's all she cares about. And that's how Rome will be in the end. And it's, like I said, it's like New York, it's like L.A. Now, again, I'm not saying everybody in those cities are bad. I'm not saying that good things don't come out of those cities at all. I'm just saying there's a philosophy there. Like, for instance, if you go down, I've never been there, but if you go down, is it Fifth Avenue with all the lights and you see it during New Year's? Is that right, Fifth Avenue in New York? Times Square, thank you. Times Square. Got lights everywhere. You know, you don't see Bible verses coming up like we have here at church, you know. You don't see Bible verses. Praise the Lord, give glory to God. You don't see anything like that. You just see the opposite of that kind of stuff. So there's definitely a worldview, an attitude, a philosophy that's coming out of these centers of humanity. And Rome will take over. We don't know what's going to happen to America. We watched Dennis Prager earlier. What's probably going to happen is America's going to try to become like Europe philosophically. And it's going to go down the tubes. So suddenly New York and L.A. aren't as strong as they were, and suddenly you got the city across the ocean taking over financially, economically, governmentally, militarily. They're getting power because Satan is controlling a lot of what's going on in these people's lives, and he's giving them power and authority, as the Bible says. And so she's a murderer. Revelation 17:6 says this prostitute who pictures the city of Rome is drunk. She's drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Okay? I'm going to put this next slide up here. And I put, she equals, what is that? What is that on the right up there, everybody? What is that? The Roman Colosseum. Hey, was that a place where they would go watch football in the first century? No. Rome took Christians and took big pointed sticks that were like 10 or 15 feet tall, and they skewered those Christians on those sticks and wrapped them with animal skins and put tar all over them and lit them up and burned them alive and lit that place up at night. And then the other Christians, they didn't do that too. They would bring them out. Kelly and I were blessed to go there in 2012 because she got a gift from the doctors for what, 15 years? How long, 15 years of service? And so they sent us on a trip to Italy. And we got to be right inside of that Colosseum. And they would bring out the Christians, and the ones that weren't skewered and lit alive, they were brought out there, and they wouldn't feed the animals. The animals all were underneath the platform. See, the platform's gone, but you could see all the support made out of stone that held that platform up. And all the animals were underneath there, lions and all the ferocious animals, and they would not feed them. They would go days, maybe weeks, and then they would let those animals out, And the Christians would all be there in the middle in a circle praying, and they would just go. And the people would come. I think that held like, I don't know, like 50,000 people. And they would come and they would watch the Christians. They would clap. They enjoyed it, watching them get eaten, ripped to shreds and eaten and just completely consumed by these animals. See, Rome isn't just a beautiful place to go where you see a lot of silver and gold and wonderful architecture and wonderful art. I mean, I don't think it gets any better than that. I mean, the Sistine Chapel, the Vatican, and all the artwork. And I mean, it's just, you could spend, listen, you could spend 3 weeks looking at all the artwork in Rome, just one city. But listen, everybody, God remembers what we forget. See, God hasn't forgotten what happened to his people back then, and he's not going to forget what Rome's going to be doing to people in the last 7 years before Jesus returns. See, God doesn't forget that stuff. And you know, like one time, there was this, in the book of Genesis, there was the Amorites, and God hadn't destroyed the Amorites for their evil. And there was a verse in Genesis that said something along the lines of, the evil, the iniquity of the Amorites hasn't reached where it's going to reach. See, God is very patient, but just like planet Earth, we're going to look at this in a minute. Judgment falls. Judgment falls. In fact, I've got some other slides to show you in just a minute. God's done this throughout history, and he's going to continue to do it right up until Jesus returns. And Rome is going to be one of those targets. This will not go on forever. God's people will be avenged. You know, in the newspaper, like recently, a Dallas policewoman went into the wrong apartment and just instantly shot this African-American man, and he's dead. A wonderful man, a praise and worship leader, if I'm not mistaken. He's gone. And his family comes on TV and they're saying, justice, justice. See, you know why? Because the human psyche, the human spirit, craves that wrongs be made right. That's wrong. And then judgment should fall. Justice should fall. You know, judgment and justice are used interchangeably in our New King James Bibles. You are a God of justice. You're a God of judgment. Because listen, to get justice, judgment has to come. Something has to be avenged. And so God is saying, listen, Christians, you know, in Revelation, you see the Christians saying, how long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? They keep crying out to God in prayer. How long? Just like these families do here when their loved ones get taken. And it's wrong. And you know what God says? Don't worry, I'm coming. But what I want to get across to all of us this morning from Revelation 18, you say, Pastor Bob, what's the takeaway? In just a minute, the Lord's going to tell us something. He's going to give us a scripture, and he says, I want you, my people, to do this. I'm not going to give it away. But God says, my people, do thus and such, or you're in big trouble. And it all rolls together with this. I'm going to get to that, but it's going to revolve around this idea, and it's what I gave you before. Don't lay down with the dogs. Don't lay down. Listen, if it's business associates, okay, thank you, Bob, and they're corrupt, or they're evil, or they're immoral, don't lay down with them. Literally or figuratively, don't do it, because you're going to get up and you're going to say, what in the world did I do? You know, I read the paper, and I normally pray at this point, but I read the paper so often, and there's people that, you know, these people that had money and status in the world, and they get arrested because they start doing things that are illegal, and they get thrown into jail. Why? They lay down with the dogs. They lay down with evil people. Okay? All right, so I'm not going to pray at this point, but I want to start off here by saying this. I don't have to tell you that this culture we're living in, and even the Christian subculture that we are all a part of, this culture that we are living in, they don't really want to hear anything about the judgment of God. All right? Now, we are a Bible church. We are a church that preaches the Word of God. And you know what? There's a lot of pastors that just skip Revelation completely, or they'll pick out the chapters they want to do and they'll skip chapters because they don't want to, you know, oh, we don't want to hear it. It's too scary. We don't want to hear. And listen, everybody, the Bible is full of God's judgments, full, and from in history and in the future. And so we can't jump around and say, hey, it doesn't happen. It's not real. We have to tell people the truth. We got to give them the truth, and we put it before them, and maybe God convicts them and says, hey, I need this great Savior, this loving Savior that judges sin. He's full of love, but he's also the judge. The Bible says in Genesis, I think 16:25, shall not the judge of the entire earth do right? Will not the judge of the whole earth do right? Yeah, he's the judge of the whole earth. So I don't have to tell you that our country and our culture and the Christian subculture, they don't want to hear this kind of stuff. They just want the pastor to be smiling all the time. I don't see how they can do that. But anyway, they smile all the time, and they're just telling people, hey, we're going to pump you up. We'll pump you up, you know, like Saturday Night Live or something. And they're trying to get people just pumping. You know what? Hey, hallelujah, and we ought to do that. But listen, not 52 weeks a year. Not 52 weeks a year. You know, it's just, that would be like eating Cheerios every day for every meal. Every week, every month, Cheerios. What's happening? Cheerios. And you eat Cheerios, you know, you would get so sick, you would be just a mess. And the same thing is, if all a pastor will do is just, oh, don't, let's not go to these no people. Well, leave. Okay. All right, so they leave. We give the whole counsel of God. Okay? If we have to stay smaller and I can give you the truth of God for you and your family, good. Okay? But we're not going to skirt the Word of God, all right? We're going to give the Word, and we're going to listen to our God and take it and do business with God and change. Okay? So, now, our culture, they don't want to hear these things. And if you do try to give those things out, what do they regard you as? They regard you as some old-fashioned kook. You know, like the church lady. You remember the church lady, Dana Carvey? They'll scorn you. They'll mock you. They'll make fun of you. Hey, bring it on. Jesus said, blessed are you when men will persecute you and say all things evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So if they mock us, okay, we'll just receive that mockery. And remember, our Lord went through the same thing so you and I could have eternal life. Amen? That's right. We are willing to bear that and say, okay, listen, if they just think I'm goofy, if I'm loony, if I'm a holy roller, if I'm a holy Joe, you name it, whatever name they want to put on you, you know, oh, and hey, listen, in school, kids, they'll make fun of you and mock you if they see you carrying a Bible or something. Big deal. Big deal. You're the one that's right. You're the one that's on the winning side, not them. They're on the losing team. We're trying to get them on the winning team. But this is the way the world looks at believers. Those Neanderthal knuckle draggers. They cling to their guns, God, and Bible, you know. So they think we're insane. Well, they want to eradicate the judgment of God. God no sooner got the human race started. I don't know how long it took for them to eat what God told them not to eat. Bible doesn't tell us. But all I know is, right out of the gate, God is judging. He's sending Adam and Eve out of the garden. Now, it was compassionate for him to do that in one sense, but on the other hand, it was also judgment too. He didn't want them to eat from the tree of life and be eternally in their fallen condition. They would live forever as fallen people, which would be awful. So, God judges Adam and Eve. And then, he's continued to judge. You know, all through the Old Testament, He's telling, Jesus comes, he's telling Israel, Israel, I'll just put it on the bottom shelf. You're cruising for a bruise in Israel, my people, the apple of God's eye, my chosen people. You're cruising for a bruising because, listen, the days are coming. And he says it in Luke chapter 21. He tells them the days are coming where they're going to come and they're going to put up siege ramps up against your walls and they're going to surround you and they're going to destroy you. And boy, here we go. This is a beautiful painting. I don't know who painted it. It's a beautiful painting. Of there's the Romans up here, the soldiers up on that cliff looking down, and you can't see them, but there's a whole bunch of soldiers going into the city down there. They're setting Jerusalem on fire. They're destroying the temple. The Jewish historian Josephus said upwards of 1 million Jews died in this, and Israel was left desolate, scattered all over the earth for nearly 1,900 years. Talk about judgment. Wow. And guess what? God judged in the past. God judges now. God will judge in the future. And you say, how's that, Pastor Bob? Because our own Lord told us about his character, about his person. And what did he say? I am the Lord. I'm Yahweh. I do not change. What I was in the Garden of Eden, I was in 70 AD, I am in 2018, and I will be like that for eternity. I'm God. You don't get to make me in your own image. You don't get to say, oh, I just want a smiling God. I just want to hear a nice message. Hey, you read that in the Bible. Those kings in the Old Testament, that's what they were saying. Oh, I hate that prophet. Remember that one? Don't bring that prophet in there. I want to hear smooth things. He tells me all the things that are wrong with me. And there's, you know, it's been happening. Humans have been like that ever since, and they will always be that way because humans love darkness rather than light. They love evil rather than what's good. Okay? Okay, so there's 4 points here. I believe there's 4 points. I don't know. I can't remember now. Let's see. Let me go back here. Ding, ding, ding. Yes, 4. And we won't spend a whole lot of time. There's no way we could go over every verse in chapter 18. So I just have to do an overview. So what we're talking about is what happens to the great harlot, the prostitute, the city of Rome in Revelation 17. What happens to her in chapter 18? How does God destroy her? How does God judge her? And so we're going to look at 4 basic points here. First, we're going to look at the judgment of Rome itself, okay? Hopefully you could read that. It looks pretty good. Revelation 18, verse 1, and then verses 21 through 24. We get an Oreo cookie. We get the first 3 verses over here and the last 4 verses over here. Yes, and then a lot of stuff in between them. But the outside and the outside of the chapter are talking about God's judgment on Rome. Okay, watch this. John's having a vision. He's awake. But it's like a waking dream, and God's putting a movie camera in his brain, and he's seeing a movie in his brain. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. And the earth was illuminated. Boy, this is an impressive angel. The earth was illuminated with his glory, with his brilliance. And he cried with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen. Is fallen and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings, is what it's saying, this city has totally influenced. She's gotten the whole world drunk on her worldview, gotten the whole world drunk on her philosophy, and the world is bad off for it. They're staggering, even dying. Verse 3, for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth, leaders of countries, have listened to her philosophy, have committed fornication with her. The merchants of the earth, they went Rome's way financially, economically. They've become rich through the abundance of her luxury. She was rich. And so she told the rest of the world how to get rich. And so she's affected the entire earth. Billions of people, everybody. Billions of people. Now, why is Babylon fallen? Why will God judge her? Because she crossed a line. He's drawn a line in the proverbial sand, everybody. And she's gotten the world hooked. She's gotten the world hooked on people, places, and things. Nothing wrong with those in and of themselves. But when you get hooked on them, what does the Bible call that when you get hooked on something? It becomes an addiction, or in the Bible word, an idol. An idol, right? Or a god. Okay? People, places, and things. Okay? We all have to love people. We've got to go places, and we've got to deal with things. You know, I've got to deal, like, I've been doing so much stuff, writing and studying, like, over the last 4 or 5 months, man, my trees and my bushes, everything, they look like I looked when I was a teenager. My hair just growing and growing and going down my shoulders. Okay, I need to deal with those, okay? We have to deal with things, but everybody listen, if you get hooked on that, I love Katy Perry, I love her. You know, that you get addicted to some singer, some movie star, and you're just addicted. And you know what? God goes out the door. Or people, places, things. You know, you get wrapped up in a hobby or something, and God gets booted. Okay, that's an idol. You shall have no... Hey, God said it right from the get-go. You shall have no other gods before me. Don't put anything higher. You do that, you're an idolater, and you're going to be judged. Okay? So, Rome is judged because she is... Remember she said, Revelation 17 said, she's a prostitute and she's the mother of prostitutes. She births philosophical children that have her same philosophy. She gives birth to children that act just like mom. And it's bad news in that case. Most of the time it's good news when a child follows mom's ways, but in this case, it's bad news. Okay? So rather than putting God in his first spot, she's put people, places, and things, and the enemy of our souls, the devil. And so now what's happened is God's through with her. Listen, remember I said there's a line in the sand? The sins of the Amorites haven't reached their fullness yet. That's why they're not judged, Genesis says. But now... The sins of Rome have reached their fullness from all the way back when they were killing God's people in the Colosseum, when they were began as an empire, all the way through to the revived Roman Empire. And God says, okay, this has happened before. I did this in the days of Noah. I gave earth 120 years to hear Noah's preaching. Wow, those were stubborn people, weren't they? You know, today people can't take 45 minutes of Pastor Bob. They couldn't. 120 years they had to listen to Noah, and they never got it. And only 8 people got on that ark and were saved. And the rest of the world perished. And then this is another painting somebody painted of Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, Lot's going up. Lot's a saved man, and he's going to his sons-in-law's. But you know what? He was a saved man who was living like a pagan. And he's going up to his son-in-law's and saying, Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be destroyed. And what does the Bible say? They mocked him. They laughed. They said, oh man, you're drunk. You're crazy, old man. And they stayed there, and they're right in the middle of that fire. The 3 sons-in-laws, the daughter-in-laws left. And, of course, his wife, God told him not to turn around and look, and she turned around. And I think, well, you can't really see her, but she's down there on the bottom of the hill right there. That's his wife. And she's a pillar of salt because she turned around and God said not to. So instantly she was, hey, that's judgment, everybody. That's judgment. And God's been doing it through time. There's the Jerusalem. And he continues to this day. Look at the end of Revelation 18. Remember I said it's an Oreo cookie? It's an inclusio. By your sorcery, Rome, by your Greek word here, get this, pharmakeia, by your potions, your drugs, your drug-induced black magic, your sorcery, by your evil sorcery, satanic things you're doing, philosophically and probably literally, all the nations were deceived. In Rome, in you was found the blood of the prophets and the saints and all who were slain on the earth. You don't have to take that as an absolute, all who were slain, because Rome didn't kill everybody, but that philosophy has. That philosophy has taken out all the people, which is, I'm first and everybody else is second. You get in my way, you're dead. Okay, that's the philosophy of the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. When you see people murder, hey, RP, are you guys cold? A little bit? Okay, hey, Robert, can you bump it up just a degree? Yeah, so looks kind of like a little bit chilly. Okay, and then the second verse here, this is the 18:5. This is at the beginning of Revelation 18. Her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Okay, now real quickly here, we're going to go through these very quickly. God's judgment on Rome, it's very rapid. What do we see repeated over and over again? In one day, in one hour, in one hour, in one hour. Oh. This doesn't take place over weeks or days. It says in one day, in one hour. Boom! You are gone, Rome. We're going to get back to that in just a minute. How? It's finality. Whenever you see stuff repeated in the Bible, God's making a point. Sometimes when God judges, it's very rapid. He just comes out of nowhere, and some unbeliever or some pagan Christian, some Christian that's not honoring God with their life, they're blowing God off. Hey, God, I'll follow you when it's convenient. Boom. They can have a judgment fall on that so quickly. It's finality. The great city, Rome, shall not be found anymore. Musicians, not heard in you. Craftsmen, not found in you. The light of a lamp, lights, not they won't shine in you anymore. The voice of a bride and bridegroom, weddings, shall not be heard in you anymore. This is judgment in totality. The rapidity, the quickness of it, the finality of it, the intensity of it. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone. This is toward the end of Revelation 18. And threw it into the sea, saying, thus, with violence. That means a sudden thud. A sudden thud. That kind of violence. Boom! With violence, the great city Babylon, Rome, it's a code name for Rome, shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. Here it is, everybody. Mark it down. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. God. All those stupid people following God. What a bunch of idiots. Don't be deceived. Don't trick yourself. God cannot be scorned. He cannot be mocked. Whatever a person does, that's what you will receive. You do evil, you'll receive calamity. You do sin, you'll receive judgment. You do lawlessness, you'll receive a prison sentence. You mark it down. God can't be mocked. He doesn't change. He was a judge in the garden. He was a judge when Jesus was on earth, and he will continue to be this way all through history future. Don't be deceived. I can get away with this. No, you can't. No, you can't. But, no, we can't. Folks, we can't. So don't deceive yourself. Don't let your conscience become defiled. Okay? The worst is a seared conscience where you don't care anymore whether you do wrong or not. But a defiled conscience, you start off with the small things like, Bob, didn't you bring this up this morning? It starts off something small, but it keeps snowballing, and you start doing small things, and they get bigger and bigger and bigger. That's the defiled conscience. It keeps getting sinned against, and pretty soon it can't hear anymore. You can't hear God's Spirit, and it can happen to lost people, it can happen to saved people. Okay, so that's number one. And let me roll through these very quickly, everybody. It shouldn't take long. The fervent warning to God's people is in verses 4 through 8. And this is what we're talking about, lying down with the dogs, getting up with the fleas. I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, Rome's, and you receive of her plagues. What's this? Okay, here's what this is. There's going to be people living in Rome in the end times, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, and they're going to get saved. They're not going to take the mark of the beast in their hand or in their forehead. And they're going to be laying low. They're going to be saying in their minds and hearts, you know what? I still think those two crazy kooks that were preaching in Israel for the first 3.5 years, I still think they were probably right. But I just haven't put my faith in Christ yet. I just haven't done that yet. I'm thinking about it. And so they haven't taken the mark yet. Well, These people, I'm getting off track here. They were like that for a while, but then they decided to. Then they decided in the last 3.5 years to get saved. They didn't take the mark. And so what God's saying now that they're saved, okay, I was getting a little bit off kilter there. What God's saying, and this very well may be either the voice of an angel or of the Lord Jesus himself. I took it in my commentary as Jesus saying it. Come out of her, my people, lest you share in Rome's sins and you receive of her plagues. Plagues are like, not plagues like skin plagues, plagues are like calamities. And we saw how quick and rapid and final they are. Okay, so here's what I'm saying. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this. If people don't come out of Rome that are saved, what will happen to those people, everybody? What if Christians don't come out of Rome when God tells them to? What will happen to them? They'll die. They'll die, okay? Because they didn't listen to God. Lot's son-in-laws died because they didn't listen to God. Israel, a million of them died because they didn't listen to Jesus. Okay? Come out of her or you're going to receive her judgments, her calamities. Okay? And here's what I want to say to Christians nowadays. This is still going forth because there is a verse, and I guess I didn't put it out. I wish I would have put it in here. But there's a verse in 2 Corinthians that says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and don't touch the unclean. And here's what I would say to us. Listen carefully, okay? I'm going to give you some practical tips here. Here's what God says to his people today. Come out of pornography. Come out of animosity. Come out of racial hatred toward others. No matter what race you are, come out of that. Come out of gossip. Come out of arrogance. I could go down the list for an hour. Come out, because if we don't come out of maybe some sin that's got its claws embedded in us, then we are going to be judged. God will have to chasten us, and he'll have to punish us for that. If you lay down with the dogs, you're going to get up with the fleas. Okay, so we've seen the judgment of Rome. We've seen the fervent warning to God's people. God's giving us, you and I, that same fervent warning today. Don't do sin. Come out of it. Come out of those bad philosophies. Come out of those bad behaviors. Put them aside. Repent through the power of Jesus. Number three, the futile mourning of Rome's allies. There's going to be all of these people when they see Rome judged. Remember, Rome's going to be judged in 1 hour. So you say, Pastor Bob, what is this all looking like? It's looking like to me that this is probably going to be a nuclear warhead or warheads that are going to take Rome out. Give me a reason, Pastor Bob. You're just making a guess. I know I'm just making a guess because the Bible doesn't tell us. But the Bible says the kings of the earth, the merchants of the earth, the shipmasters, their sailors are all howling and mourning and crying and weeping from afar. They will not get close to Rome. Well, why in the world wouldn't they want to go in there and try to save people? Maybe there's some people that haven't died yet, and they can be saved. No, they're not getting near it. All these people that were made rich by the abundance of her luxuries, by being seduced by Rome and their philosophy, why don't they want to go near Rome? It's because, remember the Bible says earlier, the beast and the 10 kings will hate the harlot. They will strip her naked. They will eat her flesh. They'll burn her with fire, the beast and his 10 horns. Remember the 10 horns represent 10 kings that work with the beast? They are going to be the ones that bring the judgment. God's going to use them to bring the judgment down on Rome. Because for some reason, the man of sin, that woman's been riding on his back for a couple years, maybe close to 3.5 years. She's been riding on his back, and he's tired of her. She's getting maybe too much power. Maybe she's getting adoration that he wants. Satan doesn't like sharing. And she's riding around on his back, and he says, okay, I'm through with Rome. Could be something with the Pope. It could be something papal. Maybe the religious thing is getting too big and it's putting down him as God. We don't know. But it seems like this one day, one hour, it's like a nuclear bomb, because it says they see the smoke of her burning. They see the smoke and they don't get near it. And they're all mourning. Why are they mourning? Their sugar mommy just got taken out. Their sugar mommy. Oh, and you know what you have? You have what's called in scholarship the rhetorical use of language. You can boil about 10 verses of Revelation 18 into one statement. Rome has been judged, and all the people that were made rich by her are really, really sad and depressed. You can boil all this stuff, but they're going on, no more spices, no more citron wood, no more gold and silver. Why? Because in those days, people came and heard the word read. They didn't have Bibles. So the guy that was reading Revelation, he's dramatically acting out how their mourning is all, oh my God. It's like a Wall Street crash. If you had $500,000 in Wall Street in stocks and it crashed and you lost everything in one day, you don't go, oh, that's nice. No, there is. It eats people alive, man. People shoot themselves in the head. God, those people, when that guy ripped them off in New York, Madoff, he made off with their money, and people were killing themselves because they lost everything. They lost hundreds of millions of dollars, some people. Okay, so that's number three. And then finally, this is number four, but I forgot to change the three to a four. Okay, this is the last point. The fitting joy over heaven's retribution. Just one verse. The fitting joy. Should we look at what happens to Rome and go, oh, that's just awful. That's just awful. Awful. You know, it's like in Home Alone when the guy got left behind and the uncle was on the plane trying to comfort the mother in first class. He's like, awful. Awful. Because they left their son back in New York as they were flying to Paris. Okay. No. Okay. Listen. No. God's people, this is so strange. But most people say, oh, you shouldn't be happy when that happens to others. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy. Hey, if you had your head cut off, would you be happy you got justice? Did Paul? Paul had his head taken off. And he's saying, you apostles, do you think Paul was happy when he sees the same country, Rome, that killed him 2,000 years earlier? Is he going to be excited about getting vengeance finally and them having to pay for their sin? You better believe it. And that fella I was telling you about earlier that was shot by the policewoman, when that man... or that policewoman stands before a court and she ends up being found guilty and being put in jail, do you think that that's going to bring satisfaction? Not full satisfaction, because you won't get that till eternity. But you know what? They're going to rejoice. I don't have my son anymore, but you know what? This didn't go unpaid, unavenged. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. They paid, and they should be rejoicing. Okay? And again, the Bible says, rejoice not when your enemy falls, and let not your heart be glad when he stumbles. But that's just talking about, it's not talking about somebody that's done you wrong, per se. This is talking about people having wrong done to them, murder. You know, yeah, if your enemy has some problems, you shouldn't be clapping. Yeah, it's so good to see you suffer. Yeah, no, that's not, that's like kind of sadistic. But this is talking about justice. This is talking about fairness and vengeance, okay? In fact, we're told not to avenge ourselves. You don't go, your family member gets killed, you don't go and take your gun and go to the person who wrongly killed your family member and you kill them. No, God said, no, that's mine and I do it. We should do it through the government. Our government doesn't like to kill people anymore. It should. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. See, that's God's word. But we don't listen to God's word anymore. When you stray from God's word, you get more murder, not less murder. If we executed people that committed murder, then murders would drop. Because people would say, oh, I'm not going to do that because they'll kill me. We don't do it anymore. Not very much. Okay? So we do not take vengeance into our own hands. God does it. And then finally, our application. Okay, I'm going kind of fast because this is a lot of material. First of all, everybody, what do we take home from Revelation 18? Exactly what it says. Come out of her, my people. Young people, do you hear me? Come out of the world's philosophies. Come out of it. Don't listen to it. If I could just make a lot of money. Hey, it's okay to want to prosper and do good, but if that's your whole philosophy of life, that's no good. No, numero uno should be God, right in the middle of everything. And God's not against you getting... You know what? I would love for several of you to really prosper financially so that we can get some more staff and we can expand and we can repair things. You know, get new carpeting. The carpeting is, let's see, 82. So that's 36 years old. The carpeting in here is 36 years old. Hello? Anybody in here have 36-year-old carpeting? Let me see. No! No. But you get the idea. So I would, hey, listen, I'm all for people prospering, but I'm just saying this. Young people, if your philosophy is, I don't really care about God, all I want to do is get famous and make lots of money, that's bad, bad, bad. There's a bad moon rising. Come out of her. Don't envy her. Don't look at the harlots of the world. Don't look at the rich and the famous and say, I wish I had all of that. You know what you get? What you get with all that? You get all the headaches that come from having 10 cars and 22 homes and 32 yachts and 42 summer cottages. You get all the headaches and all of the misery. You know what? That man that CNN sent around the world... And he got to go and eat food all over the world, was laying on a mat. And a psychiatrist was sitting there. And he was staring up at a TV camera right above him. And he says, I can't figure this out. Anthony Bourdain. Can't figure this out. I'm rich. I eat the best food. I have everything life could give me. I travel around the world. And he's looking straight up in that camera and he says, and I'm miserable. I'm miserable. Well, guess what? It wasn't long after he did that. It's an actual psych. He was having a therapy session with a psychiatrist. It wasn't long after that. You know what happened? He killed himself. Robin Williams killed himself. David Carradine killed himself. On and on and on. Why? Because people, places, and things have never made anybody happy. If you're looking to a person, a place, or a thing to give you inner joy, you'll be miserable. There's only one person. He's like a river. He's like a river. He's like a river. It's the Lord Jesus. He's the only person that can give you inner joy and peace and prosperity and happiness. He's the only one. Hey, we've got it right there in living color. I have everything and I'm miserable. Hey, don't shoot for what's going to bring you misery. Shoot for the eternal rewards that will give you joy forever and ever. So don't envy the world. And finally, rejoice over her. Okay? Don't say, oh, it's just awful. And, you know, no. When God's judgment falls, you just say, listen, that person was cruising for a bruise. Remember a couple weeks ago I talked about Madeline Murray O'Hare? She had her fame. She had her fortune. She was in the limelight for 2 decades. And then one of her former employees comes and kills her granddaughter, kills her son. Boom! 3 generations of the wicked witch of the whatever. Listen. God will not be mocked. Whatever a person sows, that will they also reap. And so we rejoice when God says, listen, time's up. He's going to do it with Rome. He's done it in the past. So this is what you take home right here from Revelation 18. Don't lay down with the dogs. You lay down with the dogs, young people, you'll get up with the fleas. If you listen to God, you'll get up with joy and peace. And eternal rewards. Eternal rewards. Let's have a word of prayer, everybody. Father, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, Lord, we're on the winning team, Father. We're on the winning team. And Lord, you may make us wait to be rewarded, but that's okay. Because in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore, Father. And so, Father, we leave here today with joy. We leave here today knowing that you will avenge all the evils that have been done against people. You will avenge all those. And Lord, those who have served you, that you will reward them. You'll make them kings and queens. You will set them on high. You will exalt them. The tail will become the head. Lord, we give you glory for that. And Lord, as your people, we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, if there are things that we need to forsake and run away from, please make it apparent in all of our lives. And help us just to say, Lord, by your grace, those days are over. I'm never going back to that. I'm going with you. And we ask these things in your precious name and for your sake. And all of God's people said, amen.